This podcast service from News Talk 870 WHCU is brought to you by Black Box Computer Consulting. They know what's inside.
It is 8:19 now on the WHCU Tuesday Morning News Watch. And as I mentioned, something is happening to the U.S. honeybee population that is stumping scientists. They've been on the decline over the last half century, and now experts at Cornell University will attempt to find out why with a $1.5 million grant from the National Science Foundation. So right now, we welcome to the show Cornell entomologist Brian Danforth, who is co-leading the effort. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Phil.
Thanks for joining us. And how much of a decline exactly have we seen in the U.S. bee population?
Let me tell you a little bit about bee diversity, first of all. There are 20,000 species of bees in the world, and we estimate about 4,000 in the U.S. and probably 450 in the United States, in New York State. The declines in the honeybee is one species out of all those 4,000 in the U.S., and the declines in the honeybee have been taking place over the last 50 years, probably due to pathogens, parasites, infections that they've obtained from other species, closely related honeybees, and those declines have been, well studied by many people looking at pathogens associated with those declines. Our research looks at the other species of bees, so the other 4,000 or so species in the U.S., and we're going to try to track their status and their changes in population levels.
Okay, so this is multi-species here, and what's the worry here? Because I'm guessing any time you see a decline in a species with any insect or animal, it really disrupts the environmental balance, right?
Well, you would think that, but I take a slightly different view of the declines in honeybees. Honeybees are not native to North America, and I think the decline that we see in honeybees is not necessarily an indication of something terrible happening in the environment. I mean, it may be linked to pesticide use, but it really is something unique to the honeybees in that they're a domesticated animal. They're a domesticated animal like a cow. They are managed. They can pick up these diseases from other colonies, and so they're a bit of an exception, I think. The native species, as far as we know, are not suffering from the same kinds of pathogens and parasites that the honeybee has, but they may be suffering for other reasons. And what we want to do is track those native species and understand how those are changing over time. There is some evidence that there are some native species that are threatened. There are bumblebees that are there are two species that are known to be on the verge of extinction in the United States, and there are two other species that are thought to be threatened.
Are there any theories up to this point as to why this is happening? I mean, you mentioned there's pathogens that some of these bees are carrying and spreading to other bees. Where did these pathogens come from?
Well, the story in honeybees is interesting because the honeybee is native to Europe and Africa. It has since been moved around the world. It's been brought to Asia. It's been brought to Australia. It's been brought to North America in the 1600s. And just to pick one example, the varroa mite, which is probably the most serious pathogen of the domesticated honeybee, is something that the domesticated species picked up from a wild species in Asia, its close relative, Apis serrana. And so it's the movement of these bees around the world that has led to the spread of some of these diseases. Now, I should tell you that those diseases are pretty much restricted to the closely related species near the honeybee, that is, other species of the same genus. There are many other species of bees which do not suffer from these kinds of pathogens.
We're speaking with Cornell entomologist Brian Danforth, who is helping to lead the effort to study these bees and why exactly they're on the decline. And Brian, you have a $1.5 million grant now, so where are you taking this effort?
Well, this is a team effort. So the money is going to be shared among a number of entomological collections in the U.S. We are using our collections, which are essentially databases that go back 150 years. In the case of the Cornell collection, this is a database of physical specimens that tells us about the distribution of bees, the abundance of bees, their preference for certain host plants, their flight times. And this is a database that's not accessible to many people. It's in our collection. it's available to professional entomologists, but it's not being made available to the public. And so what this grant is going to allow us to do is put this data on the web through the Discover Life website and make our data available to people and consolidate data from these 10 institutions across the U.S.
And this is a database that could help with a lot of other research efforts as well, I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely. I think it will. It'll give farmers information on the distributions of bees. It'll give interested naturalists information on the biology and distributions of native bees in North America. It will help people track, for example, changes in bee populations. So there is one group at Rutgers University looking at the impact of climate change on bee flight time, so bee activity periods. And what they're doing is using these data to go back 150 years and see if certain species flew earlier or later in the season, depending on the changes in the weather.
And you mentioned this large collection of bee specimens that Cornell University has, and I wasn't aware until I started researching this, but this is an absolutely huge collection of bees. I mean, how many thousands of bees does Cornell have?
Well, we estimate that this is just our bee collection. We have an insect collection that's in the range of 6 to 7 million specimens, and we probably have a quarter of the species of insects in the world in our insect collection. Our bee collection is, we think it's about 250 to 350,000 specimens, and we have recently been putting together information on our collection, and we're up to 4,000 species just represented in our collection, primarily from North America, but also from South and Central America, Africa, Australia, Europe, many parts of the world.
So now you're using this grant to kind of organize this bee specimen collection, develop it into a database. I'm guessing this isn't something that can just happen overnight.
No, this is kind of a laborious process, and there's going to be undergrads at Cornell involved in this research. There are going to be graduate students and a postdoc involved in the research. So it's kind of a team effort. And, if you can imagine, we're looking at individual specimens of insects with a unique label associated with each specimen. And on that label is information on where the specimen was collected, the day that it was collected on, the flower that it was collected on, and sometimes even more information. So we need to extract that information from the label, put it into the database, and then upload it through the Discover Life website.
All right, we've been speaking with Cornell entomologist Brian Danforth, who's leading the effort to organize and develop this database, and there's a lot there. So, Brian, good luck, and looking forward to talking with you when it's all complete.
Thank you very much, Phil.